Welcome to the Butts and Seats Podcast, episode number 104.
104, and no shots today.
No.
I will forever be happy that we're not doing shots until we have to do a shot again.
Yeah, I mean, you have until 110, but I'm undecided what I'm going to have you do in terms of all the prime at WrestleMania, because we are recording this before we go to WrestleMania to stockpile a little bit.
Yeah, you did buy a lot of prime in mentioning that you're going to make me do a prime bomb.
Yes.
So.
Also a mixed drink with prime.
There's so much prime in this house.
Anyway, I'm Nick alongside Emily.
Hello!
Emily, how are we doing today?
Living.
The dream or?
Large.
Living large, okay. We're here today to talk about Slamboree 2000. Actually, a pay-per-view actually in the timeline this time.
It feels like it's been so long.
It has been quite a while.
Like, we started watching this. We watched this in two sittings. And in the second sitting, for some reason in my head, I forgot that we were watching in the timeline. Because we started back up with the Ric Flair Shane Douglas match, and I was like, wow, this feud's been going for years.
Well, technically it has, but it's only been one-sided for most of them. But yeah. I like how you had the opposite problem with this as you did to when we started Uncensored, and you're like, okay, ready for the next one in the timeline.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't explain it. I think it's just because we've been watching so much old stuff. Yeah. I know we had a Nitro, but...
And maybe it's after watching all that, but this show wasn't the worst.
I really do think that we are grading on a curve.
A little bit. I mean, this show isn't like, I don't even know that it's a good show, but it's an okay show. And right now, in WCW, holy shit, that's amazing.
You're not wrong. I mean, we didn't leave this viewing as like downtrodden as we sometimes do. Like, it was not, I want to die levels.
Yes.
Which is like as good as it gets these days.
Yeah. But before all that, I want to get into some of the, you know, stats and info about the pay-per-view, because some of the notes, you need the context for that.
All right, tell me.
So we're watching Slamboree 2000, takes place on May 7th in the year 2000.
It'd be weird if it wasn't the year 2000.
I mean, Techno Team 2000's from like 97.
That's just weird.
Yeah, they were from the future.
Oh, well then it's fine. If the whole thing is that it's from the future, that's fine. This feels like they only traveled like three years
in the past to become jobbers.
Like, yeah, well, whatever.
Live from the Kemper Arena in Kansas City, Missouri, which last time a pay-per-view was held here would have been Over the Edge 99, which is the show where Owen Hart died. So
this is the first pay-per-view in this place since?
Yeah, I think there's only been that one Nitro where they did Benoit and Hart, and then this. I don't think WWF has gone back. I'd be shocked if they honestly ever have, let alone in the past year.
Okay, yeah, that feels really weird then, especially with, like, everything around it. That feels weird that they didn't, like, say anything.
Yeah, but, I mean, I'm almost
It wasn't even acknowledged.
I mean, I'm almost feeling it here where it's like, I mean, how do you bring that up without, like, ruining the vibe?
Yeah, I mean, it's a bad vibe. I mean, like, you know where you are. I think you have to address it. I think it's more irresponsible to not say anything.
Well, this show, despite being actually a decent pay-per-view, did not do great financially. I think it's time we lighten the mood a little bit with The Price is Right. So Emily, last month at Spring Stampede, they did 115,000 buys.
Okay.
Last year at Slamboree, with the main event of Kevin Nash and DDP, I think a match we've both very much forgotten.
Yeah.
They did 195,000 buys. How many buys did this show do?
Oof. Okay, so they're very clearly going down. I'm going to say they did 95,000.
You are still giving them too much credit. It did 65,000 buys.
Let's just pretend I said a typo and the 9 should be upside down.
Okay.
See, I was right.
And for a bonus point, want to guess how WWF Backlash did last month?
Oh, God. I don't know. Let's say like 250.
I think at this time that would be bad for them.
Really?
Ironically.
Oh no.
I want you to take Slamboree's 65,000 buys. I want you to then multiply it by 10.
Oh.
And then add another 25,000.
Oh. Oh God.
Yeah, so Backlash apparently did 675,000 buys.
Yikes.
So the war's going great.
This is no longer a war. When do we impart the mercy rule?
This ain't a scene. It's a goddamn arms race. Additionally, there were 7,100 in attendance, only about 4,800 paid, which brought in $139,000, about $30 per person.
Imagine going to a pay-per-view for $30 a person.
Yeah, we, I mean, granted, it was for two nights, but our WrestleMania tickets cost about $1,000 a piece with all Ticketmaster fees, because
fuck Ticketmaster.
They were $800, and then it's like, oh, $200 in fees? Gotcha.
Sure.
Because you know how the more you spend on a ticket, obviously, it's more complicated a process to transfer to you.
Of course.
It's not the same process for every ticket.
Sure. It's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
Remember when Joe Biden was going to do something about Ticketmaster?
Feel very welcome, Joe. So with all that, we have some backstage notes. We mentioned the Owen Hart of it all. Mm. So yeah, it's been just under a year. I think that happened in May of 99. And this happened in early May 99. You think it's too soon to have somebody do an angle in the rafters of this arena?
Yeah.
Yeah, someone should have told Vince Russo, because he pitched that to Bret Hart, of all people.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, I noticed that Bret was not on this show. I know he's still, like, technically out, I guess, but he's in and out.
He's, like, only showing up on, like, Thunder, it seems.
Yeah,
like.
That's why I'm confused.
Which, by the way, apparently more people than what I said got eliminated by going out under the bottom rope. Or, like, the middle rope of that clusterfuck battle royal, which I found out is the worst rated WCW match of all time, according to Cage Match.
Really?
Yeah.
Yikes. Okay. If you want those bad history stats, go watch that battle royal.
Also, I did peek ahead a little bit. Ric Flair became number one contender for the Great American Bash. Guess who's not in the title match? The Great American Bash.
For some reason, that tracks. That makes sense to me.
Yeah, which we got a nice long build to the Great American Bash, because it's five Nitros, a Thunder, and we have an ECW episode in between.
But ECW is going to be fun.
Be more fun than that. Or actually, again, this isn't the worst show.
Yeah, we keep like doom and glooming it. It's not bad.
Apparently, nobody likes working with Vampiro, including Sting.
Yeah, that tracks too.
Apparently, like, they're asking people like WWF too. It's like, hey, would you want him brought over?
He just doesn't seem like a fun guy to be around.
We mentioned it previously that Lenny and Lodi have been released. Mm-hmm. Apparently, Lenny Lane asked for his release because he wanted to go to WWF. Lodi was not in on this, so they fired both of them, and Lodi got pissed, and then WWF didn't sign either of them.
Amazing.
There is a plan that won't happen to give Dustin Rhodes a gimmick basically involving platinum. Because gold dust, what's better than gold? What's better than China, Asia? What's better than gold dust? Platinum dust.
Well, what's better than the $1 million man? The $1 trillion man.
And Lex Luger's upset because Vince Russo keeps trying to get Liz to actually wrestle.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Despite the fact that you have, you know, Medusa and Mona and even a bit of Asia on the roster.
Well, this is the girl that he has the most control over. And he would think that it'd be, like, hot, I guess. I don't know. Imagine the turmoil that you would experience going into Vince Russo's brain for 1 minute.
His is still going, but RIP Eric Bischoff's podcast.
Oh no.
How else am I gonna hear Eric Bischoff casually defend or not remember things?
Amazing.
Outside of every shoot interview he's ever does.
That's such a bummer. However will we get him to be on our podcast now? Oh, no. How sad. What a loss for the podcasting community.
That's it for backstage notes. Emily, you want to get into Slamboree 2000?
I mean, we might as well.
I mean, what if you were like, no. Oh, sorry, guys. That's the episode.
All right. Thanks. Have a good one.
We'll try again next week.
That is some shit that I would do, though.
We start with a Thunder recap, which actually includes Randy Savage. He's not here tonight. He won't be here on Nitro. He won't be here ever again.
Yeah, that's why I'm confused. They showed him in the recap. Because they showed it was the Battle Royal that they were talking about.
Yeah.
Which showed Bret Hart, which showed Randy Savage. It's like, why are we highlighting this? These guys aren't here.
We then get a tour bus arriving at the arena. It's the Millionaires Club, and the New Blood is already here watching on a monitor.
Meanwhile,
like a fairly small monitor for a large group to be watching.
Oh, yeah. It's like 20 guys. And Vampiro is basically sitting behind the TV in a little corner, just brooding.
I figured maybe he was going for that, like, watch off to the side where you
can't
see him.
He was behind the television. I understand that wrestlers have a different parallel view than we do, but you can't see through a screen.
You know what it is? Wrestlers have to make up for all the peripheral vision that the referees don't have.
True. They're like lizards, like chameleons that just have their eyeballs just moving everywhere.
We get the opening promo. It hypes up Ric Flair versus Shane Douglas and potentially Vince Russo, Sting versus Vampiro, Billy Kidman versus Hulk Hogan, and the world title triple dance match.
Triple dance.
Like, they left it in. They didn't try to. They're
really keeping it, yeah.
We didn't get the opening pyro, and this set is just Nitro.
Yeah, it's pretty underwhelming. There's not much else to it.
Sanbury doesn't even have like a fun theme. Or last month I was saying, like, come on, like, bring the wagon back or something.
I mean, you know I love a theme.
Yeah, next month's Great American Bash. We'll see if they do any flag shit. And after that is Bash at the Beach, which...
That's got a theme.
Yeah, I don't know what they do for the set for that one, because they usually do something fun. We had Tony Schiavone, Scott Hudson, and Mark Madden on commentary. I really need to start writing Scott Hudson, because my brain always like fumbles a little bit. Like, Scott Hudson, yes.
He's another one I can't keep his name in my head. He's really just forgettable.
Yeah, I think he's around till the end.
I mean, sure, but he's not enough of a memorable commentator. Like, he's not so obviously a heel or so obviously a face. He's just kind of there, but we have Tony as colors, or not color, we have him as play-by-play. So we need the, like, Mark Madden level of face commentator, right?
Yeah, he's the WCW's Josh Matthews, it feels like.
Forgettable. Sorry, Josh Matthews.
We go straight into our opening match. It is Hard Knocks Chris Candido with Tammy versus The Artist with Paisley. This is for the Cruiserweight title.
I do kind of forget The Artist is still here.
Yeah.
And also, his name is not The Artist. It's Taff Cappy. We haven't talked about him enough lately. And I started writing The Artist and then I had to correct myself in my notes. I'm like, that's not his name.
So Candido and Tammy come out. Tammy does a, like, pseudo Val Venus promo. Apparently, he's used very similar verbiage before.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Missouri being the show me state.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought that was just, like, a thing. I thought that was the motto of Missouri or something.
Well, it is, but they put a little sexy twist on it.
Oh, I see.
That's it. I don't know what the show me state actually means, I'm realizing.
Not a clue.
People are actually starting to correct us when we don't know things, so
for better or worse. Yeah, if you don't know, if you know why it's called the Show Me State, please write in.
Admittedly, that is like a quick Google search, but I just...
Yeah, we're already recording.
Yeah. But it's the Show Me State, so Tammy will show you hers, and then boys, you can owe me one. Foreshadowing under the covers with Sunny and all the Skype sales she would do.
Oh, no.
Oh, are you unaware of this?
No.
Oh, baby.
The only thing I know about Sunny and her post-wrestling career is Sunny's side up.
Yeah, so before that, I guess to try to avoid doing that, she offered photo shoots where you could, like, do an in-bed photo shoot with Sunny.
Like, in person?
Yeah.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah. Ew. I'm sure that was at some hotel that had no idea what was going on.
Yeah, that just seems dangerous.
Yeah, and you could pay to do a Skype with Sunny, and depending on how much you paid, she would be less and less dressed, and you could do whatever you wanted on your end.
You know,
coming soon to the Patreon.
No, support sex workers. I hope that Sunny was happy doing that. I hope that made her feel good. It is what it is.
No, there's apparently Nitro stills, and it looks rough.
Nitro stills.
So Tammy takes off her, like, mink-ish coat to reveal just some dress. Big tan bra strap going across the back.
Yeah. Like, she's very much wearing, like, cover-all underwear. Which is like, why? What you doing? What's happening?
Artist comes out. Tony points out that both these men are new blood.
Like, so it doesn't matter. Like, there's the feud in this is pointless.
Match starts. Candido hits a wheelbarrow roll through. And then a second attempt ends with the Artist hitting a bridging German suplex. Artist hits a 10-punch spot and vaults Candido to the floor. Candido dives from the top to the Artist on the floor, and then Candido smashes Taff Cappy's head onto the elevated stage, which I guess we did not note before.
Yes. So coming into the ring, there is an elevated ramp. So the ramp is ring level, but it's only about, like, what did you say, like 3 feet wide? So it just kind of drops off at the sides to go into the moat, or supposedly, like, whatever you want to call it, around the ring. It does kind of become modish, doesn't it?
A little bit. I'm wondering if this happens for any reason other than an angle later in the show.
I don't know. I don't know if you know what professional wrestling is, but Mark Madden does.
Yeah, Mark Madden is all over the place in the show. And I would hear the comment, I'd see Emily writing and go, I don't need to take note of that.
As this match was starting to get hot and, you know, get going, Mark Madden had the line, Hot cruiserweight action mixed with hot tramps. That's professional wrestling.
Yeah.
Aren't you so proud to be talking about what we talk about and doing what we do?
Yes, a bunch. How many other lines do you have for him in this match?
Honestly, not anymore for this match.
Oh, okay. I remember he had a couple that I think we just have to, like, move on or it's like an infestor.
Oh, that's a lie. I have one more.
Okay, what is it?
Calm before the porn.
Oh, yeah. Candido grabs a chair, but the artist counters a pile driver with a back body drop on the ramp. The artist hits a Frankensteiner, and then they botch a hip toss. They trade strikes. Candido throws the artist back to the floor. That seems to be a big theme for a lot of the matches today. Yeah. Just go to the floor, brawl.
Yeah, why?
It's called a shortcut, Emily. Candido gets suplexed from the apron, and we suddenly hear something that sounds like a vacuum. And I'm like, is that them vacuuming up the confetti so they can reuse it for the artist during his entrance?
So what we didn't mention was when the artist came out, confetti rained from the sky.
He has that every week.
Okay. Yeah. This is the first time I've ever noticed the cleanup around it. There's no way they're reusing that confetti.
I mean, when we went to that one Raw, we saw them recollecting all the cups for the Street Profits.
Confetti, I feel, is different than solo cups, though, because I think solo cups are more expensive and more detrimental, like, plastic-wise. They're easier to clean up.
I don't know. Emily, the show did 65,000 buys. They got to save money where they can.
I just feel like if you're vacuuming up the confetti, you're also vacuuming up dirt and dust and other stuff, which means you're just going to rain dirt and dust and other stuff down when they do the entrance again.
You think they care?
I would like to believe.
You know in your heart they don't care, Emily. We had a low blow right in front of the ref. Get used to that tonight. Very sloppy powerbomb from the artist. Like, almost drops him on his fucking head.
Yes. I feel like there were a few botches in this match.
Oh, yeah. These two do not work well together.
No.
We've kind of noticed this before. Paisley plunge is countered. Candido crashes on an attempted top rope corner Frankensteiner. They botch a diving roll through where, like, Candido has to, like, back up to finally get schoolboyed. And then the artist hits a falling second rope Samoan drop. Paisley and Tammy then argue on the ramp, and Paisley, like, loosely grabs Tammy's hair and she bumps.
Yeah, this turned into, like, a huge, like, fan chant, too.
Holy,
like,
crowd is crazy for this.
Yeah. They're actually really hot all night.
They're too hot. The show doesn't deserve it.
It was a little off-putting. There's a match later where the crowd is so into it. And I had to look at you and be like, am I wrong for not being interested in this? But it's like that for this, too. It's just like, oh, my God, girls are fighting, cat fight. Wah! Like, boobs.
This crowd is sponsored by Intuit TurboDex.
They're into it.
So Tammy then grabs a chair and manages to hit a chair shot on Paisley and the artist for the win. Oh, wait, nope. Not the win, actually.
Yeah,
they play Candido's music, and after, like, it very much seemed like he got the pin there. So they fucked that up.
Yeah, who fucked this up? Was it the ref? Was it the wrestler?
I don't know.
Whose mistake was this?
Pile driver from Candido and the diving headbutt actually gets the win for him. So same guy won just 30 seconds later.
But it wasn't, like, similar enough that... So, this is where I'm confused. Because, yeah, the same guy won 30 seconds later, but it's not, like, a botch. There wasn't a mistake. It's not like they redid the same moveset again. It was a continuation.
I'm guessing it's production, because before the bell rings for like, after the pin, music's already playing. Like, they were like, fuck it. Like, I got...
They weren't paying attention.
Yeah, it's basically, I want to go take my smoke break. All right, I got to wait for to fucking press this button.
I mean, can you blame them?
Paisley then pushes over Tammy and low blows Candido. Tammy then gets stripped, and the artist and Paisley celebrate their loss.
Which is why she was wearing those coverall underwear.
Yeah, she was wearing, like, more clothes after getting stripped than
she was
really before.
They're just skin-toned now, so people in the rafters can't tell. They're just like, oh my God, a naked woman.
The artist and Paisley's music hits, despite the fact that they did not win this match.
You have way more of a problem with that than I do.
Well, it happens in, like, the next match, too.
Yeah, and you bring it up every time. It's like... They're the last ones to have done anything.
Who's
Whatever.
The real winner, brother?
Who cares?
Ugh, what a mess.
Yeah, it was something.
Yeah, I do blame the artist here more than Candido.
So you have such rose-colored glasses for Chris Candido, and I need you to be aware of that.
They're not rose-colored, but...
I don't know. You've, like, refused to say anything bad about Chris Candido. And, like, I know he's your boy, and I know you love him.
He can't talk.
But no. He's also not that good.
No, I don't think he's spotless here, but I think a lot of the botches you can kind of tell are a little more on the artist just going, oh, well, that's it. And yeah. Not trying to save it at all.
But it takes two to tango, you know? Yeah.
Admittedly, I am missing the flippier style. I think part of the problem is when you have a Candido or the artist in there, you need someone a little more high-flying to work with them.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, you have two bases here.
It's these are both supplemental wrestlers. You need somebody else.
These are two bottoms. You need a top. As in a top rope person.
Sure.
Commentary formally checks in. They talk about the cage for the main event tonight. Apparently the second cage for the main event is a hardcore cage.
So when they established this as a triple cage match, I really did think of it as the same kind of cage from Uncensored, where it was literally just three cages, same width, same height, on top of each other. This is kind of more of a pyramid of cages.
They are flat out calling this the Ready to Rumble cage match.
Yeah, it is way more reminiscent of the Ready to Rumble.
It's the same one. It's literally the same one.
Oh, okay. So this is like straight out of the set. So you're telling me that it was not actually made for real wrestling. That makes sense.
Actually, I don't know, man. The one in the movie might be more secure.
If it's the same one.
Oh, we might have to go back and watch that scene from the movie.
Oh, God. We have to rewatch Ready to Rumble?
Like 5 minutes of it.
I don't know, man.
We'll get to that. We get a montage of Terry Funk getting his ass kicked. This is meant to put over how hardcore he is, but just made him kind of look like shit.
He just look like an old man that keeps getting beat up.
Then we get Terry Funk versus Norman Smiley and a mystery partner.
Oh my god.
Emily, I know they don't say who the mystery partner is until a little bit in, but do you want to just get out of the way who the mystery partner is?
Guys. It's your boy Ralphus. Your boy is back.
Really makes Nitro make a lot more sense.
Yeah, just like the looming terror from... Oh, no, that's in this match. Oh, my God.
Yeah, no, that was the... He's just, like, can't get his head out of the ropes.
Yeah, okay, you're right. That does, I guess, make more sense.
And then just, like, is bumbling, yeah.
There's a moment in this match, though, that is kind of on par with my favorite moment from WWE with the Hurricane going into the boxes. It's on par.
Okay. You have that to look forward to. So Terry Funk is backstage looking for Norman and goes into the bathroom to find him. But Norman surprised him with a fire extinguisher from behind.
Swerve.
And Norman gets the advantage on Terry Funk. They brawl around backstage, including breaking a Coke machine. You can see the light go out in it.
Like the light went out in my eyes.
I did write the mystery partner for here. But again, it is Ralphus. He hits some very weak trash can shots before Norman just like give me that. And actually, it's proper shots.
But he's just like, I don't know how to describe it. Yeah, I can only mimic it.
Well,
it's just like the bit.
Is there enough energy behind to even warrant the noise bonk?
No, it's not a bonk. It's a bleh, bleh, bleh. No, these are not bonks.
Norman keeps hitting Funk with weapons and throws him around backstage. Norman puts a trash can on Funk and then hits it with a chair. They then knock over some truss to make a loud noise. Ralphus then climbs up this like weird stack of something, and him and Terry Funk then throw weapons back and forth, including a non-folding chair, like an elementary school chair. Like, it hits Ralphus like with the fucking legs, like, ow.
Oh my god. It's amazing.
Oh, I guess we should also note that, like, how is Ralphus disguised? He's wearing a catcher's outfit.
Oh, yeah, he's wearing a catcher's mask.
Norman is wearing a Kansas City Royals jersey, so it meant to be a companion piece to that.
Gotcha. Are the Kansas City Royals still a thing?
Yes.
Oh.
They alternate between being very top of the league and completely forgettable.
I'd never think about them. Before we move too far on, though, I do want to talk about this Ralphus on a mountain of turf moment, though.
Oh, yeah, it is
because
turf.
I think it's rolled up turf or something along those lines. This is just like peak Ralphus for me. This is very reminiscent of the 24/7 hardcore title in WWE with the Hurricane going through the boxes. It's so silly, stupid that it's everything I want in wrestling. So Ralphus is standing on top of Turf Mountain, and he just like seems to have a limitless pile of weapons with like chairs and trash cans and kendo sticks and just whatever he's got. And he's just like throwing it down the mountain Donkey Kong style, Just like you're playing a Mario mini game and you have to dodge it as you're walking up the mountain.
It's somewhere between that and like...
But there's no force behind any throw.
Well, I'm thinking like when you use Pac-Man in like Super Smash Bros, where you like press B and it's like, all right, which one of these items do you want to throw? Yeah,
literally. It's just like, yes, trash can. Bleh. There's no... And he's not like... He's not far away enough or high enough or throwing with enough force for this to be anything other than annoying.
Well, commentary,
it's just an obstacle. It's not a weapon.
Commentary keeps pointing out that he's just watching Norman get
beat
down.
He's just watching. He's not interfering at any point in any of this.
To the
this.
Point where they're like adding a story of like, well, he must be on Funk's side. It's like, no, he's...
Like, no, it's Ralphus. He doesn't know what planet he's on. He's okay. Leave him alone.
Norman is thrown off a stepladder through a table. They brawl into some cable cases. This is where commentary's like, God, this mystery partner fucking
he's
sucks.
He's not doing anything. He's literally just standing there.
Menacingly.
Not even.
Funk slams Norman on the concrete as the partner just watches and then bonks Funk to no effect. They brawl through, like, fake gorilla position. Like, this is a weird spot. Like, trying to make it look real, but it's very much like, we're not using this spot at all. We then get Ralph as being unmasked to a second mask. Funk brings him onto the stage and hits two chair shots. Funk then hits a chair shot to the head and then fully unmasks him to reveal Ralphus. And the crowd like doesn't react.
No, there's no reaction. No one remembers him. I don't understand why there's no reaction. Like, you're not following along with the Ralphus lore? You don't remember him from the years of Jericho? How dare you? Put some respect on this man's name.
Funk then reveals Ralphus' ass to the crowd. The crowd goes, oh!
Oh, yeah. The reaction was, like, mean. It was just mean.
Norman hits Funk with the ladder. Norman hits a chair shot and then drops the ladder on Funk's head. I'm like, ow!
Yeah, this match is not about Terry Funk. I don't care about Terry Funk.
Chair shot and a big wiggle. Funk then tries for a chair shot, but Norman counters it, and Ralphus wants the big wiggle. Funk hits him in the head with a chair, and then Norman checks on Ralphus and gets rolled up, and Funk wins. Ralphus just watches Funk leave, and Norman and Ralphus do a little wiggle in the ring, and then their theme hits.
No notes. 10 out of 10. Amazing match. This is my best bit. This is my MVP. Yeah. This is my everything.
Jesus. Yeah, I'm not surprised. this match is such a mess. It's funny.
This is why I like the hardcore matches. I don't want the New Jacks. I don't even really want the like
Abdul the Butcher one.
I don't want
gang.
The Abdul the Butchers. I don't want the Sandman hitting his head and making his head bleed. I don't want that.
You want Crash Holly.
I want that kind of hardcore. Like, a little bit of blood is fine, but when it's like, we're going to finish this sliding around in pools of our own blood, I'm not into it. This is the kind of hardcore I love. The silly shit.
Yeah. Admittedly, I wish Terry Funk was doing something a little better, but...
Maybe he's having fun.
Yeah.
We can't rule that out.
I did write, Ralph has killed this match in the best way.
Yeah, this could have been a really good match, but Ralph has made it an excellent match.
Backstage, Mean Gene interviews David Arquette, arriving separately from the Millionaires Club. He's like, what's up with that? He's like, yeah, your wife's making $1 million an episode. Why aren't you with them? He's like, I have my own money, thank you.
I don't think he actually was, but he came off like slurry in this to me. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, he's trying for something here because he's like, don't let the smile fool you. Like, I'm scared. And his interview later where he's like, I'm scared, but I'm okay. And it's like, I think this is meant to like tease the stuff in the main event.
I think it's supposed to be like, I think this stuff is like the fear is supposed to be endearing. I think it's supposed to be like, you need to cheer for this guy because he's a human. He's a person. He's just like in this scenario, in this situation against his will. I think you're supposed to feel bad for him.
Moving on to people I feel bad for. It's Kurt Hennig versus Sean the Perfect One Stasiak.
Wait, which one do you feel bad for?
Kurt Hennig.
Okay, good. I was gonna. If you're feeling bad for Sean Stasiak, I'm mad at you.
We will get to there in due time, but I don't think you remember that Sean Stasiak basically ruined the invasion.
No, I don't remember.
He ruined it before it even happened.
I don't remember.
So the match starts, arm drive from Stasiak, then a hip toss. Kurt Hennig hits a quick hip toss and a scoop slam. They lock in a rest hold and Stasiak hits a crossbody. Hennig hits some hard action, which actually pops the crowd. And we see the Misfits in action in different color camo suits at ringside.
Yeah, like just sitting in the audience because they weren't invited, right?
Well, they're fired.
Oh, right. This is after they got fired.
Despite the fact that they were on Thunder and in the match.
Sure.
The two brawl over to commentary and Stasiak chokes Hennig with a camera cable. Diving clothesline from Stasiak back in the ring and Hennig tries for a scoop slam on the ramp, but his back is hurt. Glargay sleeper from Stasiak goes into a rest hold and Charles Robinson drops the arms twice, but Hennig waves the arm on three and powers up. Stasiak pulls the hair and goes up top. Hennig dodges a diving crossbody and hits two gut punches and chops. Back body drop and a big right hand from Hennig. Robinson scolds Hennig, so Hennig just slaps him upside the head. Sad catapult in the corner and a perfect plex from Stasiak, which gets him the clean win as commentary just, like, doesn't acknowledge the win.
This is the most standard wrestling match I've seen on a Nitro or WCW television in a long time.
He won clean. That happens exactly. Rarely.
He won clean. It wasn't a weird stipulation. There was no run-in. There was no anything. It was just wrestling. It was very standard.
Yeah, it's kind of nothing, though.
I never think of standard as a good word, honestly. But yeah, no, it was kind of forgettable. Boring.
And depressingly, this is Kurt Hennig's last WCW match.
This is his last match.
He'll do a run-in tomorrow night, but that's it.
Wow. Did he get fired? Did he get, like, let go? What happened?
I think he gets released in the summer, but I don't know. They're just done with him.
Wow. That's wild.
Yeah, he comes back in WWF for the 2002 Rumble. He does a couple of like those like in between XWF WWA kind of shows in between. But yeah, this is it for. I guess we'll see him on Nitro. But yeah, this is it for one of our good old boys.
Oh, the West Texas Redneck.
I know it's.
Is he the last one?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's been a wild ride with him.
Yeah.
Cause
to say the least.
He's been all over the card in terms of heel, face, like borderline main event, and then like absolute bottom of the card.
Yeah.
Like he's been a great utility player of, he slots in where you need him. I mean, he was just doing, you know, Nitro main events with Hulk Hogan and it didn't feel weird.
Was he in the Wolfpack? Or was he just in regular NWO?
No, he would have been in the regular NWO for the first couple episodes. He got kicked out when they did the merger.
Okay.
It was him and Barry Windham getting kicked out in the same segment.
Gotcha.
He was part of the powers that be. Remember, he had the loser hangs up their boots match.
I remember the boots. I remember the boots match because it was stupid.
But I think, admittedly, when I think Kurt Hennig WCW, I'm going to think of the West Texas Rednecks. I'm going to think of good old boys, rap
going
is crap.
On tour.
Yeah, that... He was great, and he was the shining star of that, and he knew exactly what he needed to be. And he was so good in that role that he made the people who were supposed to be the faces feel like the heels, because I'm like, no, these guys are endearing.
For better or worse, we won't remember this stuff.
Yeah, I think he has the Johnny B. Bad problem, but in WCW, where it's like, we want to do this gimmick, and we can't, so your brand feels damaged because of it, because we had to call you by your real name and not the fun gimmick we like.
Right.
But I'm surprised they couldn't find any use for him. I mean, I guess that they're cutting costs by the time they release him later
but
in the
how
summer.
Much but time, how much money is he really stealing for? Like, he's not, like, getting the top level of money.
He probably was making decent money. I mean,
decent, but he's not, like, Kevin Nash.
Yeah, I wonder if, maybe we'll have to do that on some, like, special episode of, like, how much everyone's making. Like, one of the final episodes of, like, all right.
What's the salary of a wrestler?
Yeah, or like we'll do a fun like okay cool like GM mode. You have this much money. You have to use these
that
contracts.
Could be fun.
But yeah, Kurt Hennig, I'm gonna miss him a bit. He definitely was not being
utilized enough.
Yeah, it felt like when we said goodbye to the West Texas Rednecks, it was kind of like there goes the man I loved. You've changed now.
You've changed, bro. Yeah, I will miss him in the sense of, like, I will miss what he was. He hasn't been utilized enough recently for me to think, like, we're losing someone on the card.
Let's go backstage. Vince Russo tries to hype up Scott Steiner. Like, don't fucking touch me.
Yeah, this was a little weird to the point where I was like, how is this real? Does Scott Steiner not like Russo?
Well, fucking Scott Steiner, like, kind of face-turned a couple weeks ago, and then he's back to being a heel and beat up Jeff Jarrett on Nitro, so I don't fucking know, man.
Yeah.
Let's go to our next match. It's for the U.S. title. It is Hugh Morris versus Scott Steiner. Hugh Morris comes out to the ring and claims that he is no longer Hugh Morris.
Nick has been hyping this up to me for weeks.
It's so fucking stupid.
And the payoff's not worth it. All that lead up, it's not worth it.
Emily, what is Hugh Morris's new name?
He's going by his real name. His name is Hugh G. Rection.
Do you get it? Sorry, he's Captain Rection for short. I swear he becomes a general at some point. I don't know if this coincides with the fact that Van Hammer becomes Private Stash and then is mad and then becomes Major Stash. So,
well, because his rank wasn't high enough?
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
Thus killing the joke of the name.
It's not real. You're not in the military.
This is even less real.
What?
So I'm wondering, do they end up promoting Hugh G. Rection? That way he's higher than Major Stash.
But Captain Rection is bad. Yeah. That doesn't work. That's no. Bad.
Yeah. Ironically, he should be a major.
Yes.
Major Erection.
Major Erection. Yes.
Why do we do boner jokes better than Vince Russo?
Because he doesn't actually think about his joke. He just says the first one that he hears and he's like, I'm so funny. Write it.
Steiner has his two ladies again. If they mentioned Booker T supposed to be in this match, I missed it at the start of this match. They bring it up at the end, but...
I don't think so.
And we get a new referee. I'm like, who the fuck is this Irish lad?
Yeah, it's a young little ginger guy. Just a yeah. Little guy.
It feels like he's getting broken in the hard way, because Scott Steiner's giving him no fucking favors
No. Very much a throw him in the deep end sort of vibe.
They start with hard chops, and Steiner bails and keeps mouthing off to one group of fans. The ladies get on the apron, and Steiner hits Rection from behind.
Don't call him Rection. Call him Hugh.
Hugh hits a spin kick and goes up top and hits a diving elbow. The ladies crotch Hugh G. Rection, and he ends up in a tree of woe. Steiner chokes Rection and mouths off for the Misfits in action at ringside. I wrote Rection in my notes, okay?
Rection's a terrible name!
Got a flexing elbow from Steiner, and he threatens the ref on a two. T-bone suplex from Steiner, and then some push-ups. Clearly me fucking with myself. The ladies fuck with Rection on the ropes, and Steiner hits a belly-to-belly.
Don't you love when you leave yourself little jokes in your notes?
Steiner threatens the ref again and locks in a bear hug on Rection.
Ah, I love it.
Two arm drops, but Hugh G. Rection gets stiff on the third.
There's gotta be a masturbation joke with Scott Steiner hugging Hugh G. Rection. There's something there. It's there.
Yeah. He's gripping him tight, Emily.
Just choking the chicken.
Overhead belly to belly, and Steiner goes to jaw with the crowd again in pose. Hugh gets his boot up in the corner and starts to come back, but is cut off. Butterfly suplex bomb from Steiner, and Hugh counters a move and then hits a sit-out pile driver. Steiner rolls out of the way of the Raging Climax, which is the new name for the No Laughing Matter.
Ew.
Also the tagline for WrestleMania 15.
Raging Climax?
Yes, it was the Raging Climax. Vince Russo was in charge at that time, if that makes any sense.
What was happening in WrestleMania 15?
Rock and Austin won. There was the WrestleMania Rage Party.
Raging Climax. That's just phallic.
We reviewed that show.
Did we talk about that being the tagline?
Yep.
There's no way to read that other than phallic.
Well, ironically.
It's only innuendo.
Ironically, it was phallic and someone got hung.
Yes, I remember that.
Oh, I guess we should also say, Steiner rolling out of the way of the diving moonsault. He doesn't get all the way out of the way because...
No.
Because Bill DeMott's legs come down and fucking kick Scott Steiner right in the fucking head.
Yeah. And we gotta start calling him Bill.
No, he's Hugh G. Rection, but when it's something like serious, he becomes Bill DeMott again.
It's like Hulk Hogan becoming Terry Bollea. Check his cock!
Steiner goes over, very slowly locks in the Steiner recliner and wins. I don't know if there's many more of that match beforehand, but it's like, nope, we're going home now. Steiner locks in the Steiner recliner post-match, and then security comes out only to stop the Misfits in action from breaking the hold.
Yeah, what was the fucking point?
So Booker T comes out, hits a very sloppy Harlem sidekick, and I'm like, aren't you hurt? And they're like, Booker T, who wasn't this match due to injury, and I'm like,
so you're injured. If you're good enough to be here to do a Harlem sidekick, get in the ring and do the match, my dude.
I don't know, man. This is actually a decent match.
It was okay. Yeah.
Minus the dumb intro of I'm a boner joke now.
Right.
And the fact that I don't really care about huge erection.
You don't care about huge erection?
No, I don't.
You don't care about huge erections?
I apparently don't. I thought Scott Steiner looked really good here.
He did. Yeah. It actually really wasn't bad. It was shocking.
That's the problem with Scott Steiner. It's occasionally he just pulls out decent performances.
Pulls out.
Yeah. I do wish we got a promo from him.
We haven't heard about who is the best at sex in a very long time.
You know what it is? He has his ladies now, so he's getting enough to where he doesn't feel the need to brag to be like, someone please have sex with me.
That's true. Yeah. Oh, he's got speaking Menasia. Of which,
the ladies.
They're hot. Yeah.
The boobs were out.
You comment on how hot they are almost every episode.
They're hot.
We get it. Quick, which one's which?
Me and Gene is here with Canyon. Admittedly, if you pull them both up in a photo, I might be able to guess.
It's a 50-50.
No, because I feel like I have a better sense of what Medeja looks like than what Shakira looks like. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've seen more photos of Medeja because she's around longer.
If you say so.
But yeah, Mean Gene is here with Canyon. He is apparently facing Mike Awesome for some reason.
Which is confusing, because isn't Mike Awesome feuding with Hulk Hogan?
He's just generally feuding with the Millionaires Club. I mean, there was the thing from the cage in which they brawled, and yeah, they're just both kind of like the bannermen of the group.
There's a thing, like, you know it with Canyon, where he is the guy with DDP.
Yes.
But Mike Awesome doesn't really, like, have a posse, necessarily.
I'd say he's, like, if anybody, he's with Kidman, who's...
Not really, though.
Yeah.
But I mean, he has just been fighting Hogan. And, like, when you're fighting Hogan, you think that you're more big, and I don't know.
Yeah.
This one felt really confusing to me.
Yeah, it was definitely strange. But Canyon says he considers DDP a brother, I guess, leading brother. To your Hulk Hogan thing.
Brother.
And DDP taught him, you get ahead by busting your ass, not by kissing it.
Oh, got him.
Let's go to that match. Could be a very good one. It's Mike Awesome versus Chris Champagne Canyon, which every now and again they still mention that is his moniker.
Very rarely, though, because he's not really Hollywood anymore.
No.
No.
Awesome comes out, has the Revolution theme again. I'm like, pick a song, guys.
Maybe it's Mike Awesome. Maybe he hasn't decided what he wants.
Match starts. Canyon ducks a clothesline and dodges a big boot. Immediately, the crowd is not looking at this match. I don't know what happened here, but...
Like, they're looking around as if there is a run-in.
Awesome hits a dive over the ropes, and we get ECW chants.
ECW.
Again, they're doing better pay-per-view numbers, so...
They're the second show. Why don't we just jump ship to them? Imagine if we did that. We would lose all of our listeners.
Yeah, those episodes are usually the lowest well, listener-wise, yeah. So probably. Awesome throws Canyon around ringside, but is pushed into the ring post. Canyon baseball slides Awesome into that ring post, and we get a somersault plancher from Canyon from the apron. Awesome pulls Canyon onto the ropes and hits a scoop slam and then a diving clothesline. They go back to the floor. Awesome hits chair shots to Canyon. DQ?
It's lax rules, bro.
Admittedly, I got a little worried when Mike Awesome grabbed the chair because I'm like, I am used to you abusing people with this. It's like, I think someone talked to him and went, this is an ECW. That's not Masato Tanaka. You can't do that shit.
Right.
Which is good.
I would hope that's what happened.
Awesome slams Canyon onto the announce table and then is hit with a chair into the crowd. Canyon gets scoop slammed onto the concrete and is choked with the camera cable back around ringside. Vaulting splash back in the ring from Awesome, and commentary keeps trying to set up a Mike Awesome versus Kevin Nash feud. I'm like, guys, that ain't gonna happen.
No.
More ringside chair shots. Awesome goes for a diving chair shot, but gets crotched, and Canyon hits a neck breaker from the corner. Canyon hits a diving crossbody, but Awesome rolls through, and Canyon hits a flapjack for a two. Awesome counters a pile driver and hits a hard Alabama slam. Awesome goes for a powerbomb and, like, kind of drops Canyon on his neck. It's not quite that, but it's the high shoulders.
It really does look like his neck. Like, I wrote it down as in, like, a we should check on him sort of way. It looks, it's too high of shoulders.
Awesome starts pulling up the mats at ringside, hits a vaulting shoulder block back in the ring. He signals for an awesome bomb to the floor on the exposed floor. Ugh. I'm like, Jesus. Yeah, I love Canyon. Canyon's not taking that bump.
No.
Canyon will take almost any bump. Canyon cannot take that bump.
That's a hard bump for anyone.
Oh, yeah,
to
yeah.
Take.
No one should take that bump.
No one should be asked to take that bump.
Spike Dudley would take that bump, I think. I think he's the one.
Okay, ECW is a different animal.
So that doesn't happen, but he settles for a German suplex in the ring. Awesome pulls up more mats at ringside and signals for another awesome bomb, like from the elevated ramp to the floor. So basically the same height.
Mm-hmm.
But we get Kevin Nash's music hitting. He comes out, fights off an interfering Kidman, Shane Douglas, Chris Candido, and Vampiro. Yes, you heard that right. Kevin Nash fights off 5 men on his own while still being injured.
He's just so good. He's the unstoppable monster force.
Yeah, luckily, Conan and Rey Mysterio learned their lesson.
Yeah, phew.
The ref calls for the bell because, you know, oh, well.
Now it's a DQ.
As the Millionaires Club comes out to make the save, I think this group, I didn't know who this group was, but I want to say it was like Flair, Lex, and Sting.
Was it Sting?
Yeah, Sting was definitely out there. The Millionaires Club also managed to fight off some security, and commentary is like, yeah, the story here isn't that match. Great, why'd we do it?
Cool, thanks for completely making that useless.
Which sucks, because that match had a little something.
It could have been
especially
something
for a nothing build match, like that.
If it made more sense for them to be going against each other, then yeah, it would have been something.
I mean, they're at least opposite groups. It's not, we're doing New Blood versus New Blood for no reason.
I guess, but it's still two guys really out of nowhere. But you're right. This could have been something. This screamed more Nitro than pay-per-view.
Yeah, especially with the schmoz ending. No, I think as much as I hate the somebody wins and then gets killed, I feel like you could have had Canyon pull out something sneaky here and then like get powerbombed through the fucking stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably.
So in relation to both these men, this was disappointing for a finish.
Yeah. I don't know. Like you keep saying, this match could have been great. It just wasn't.
Well, let's go to a match that I had no expectations for, and that was kind of met, but maybe a little better.
Yeah, you think better?
Not by much. It's Buff Bagwell versus the Total Package. And for this match, we get a total video package.
Wow.
We then see backstage Russo insults Liz and is like, I own you. Cool.
Got it.
Buff taunts the crowd to start. Irish ref is back as we get some Luger chants. Lots of stalling to start this match.
Yes, it's walking in circles, posing at each other.
Which, I feel like when I said Buff Bagwell versus the Total Package, you probably could have guessed that.
Yeah, that's what you expect.
These two do team up before the end of Nitro.
Oof.
They're totally buff.
Ew. Why? That doesn't make any sense. Just for those two, not the name. I think they thought of the name and they're like, oh, now y'all gotta team up.
They finally lock up and Luger overpowers Buff, so Buff hits strikes. Buff taunts the crowd and works over Lex, and then does his stupid Buff dance. Luger counters a suplex, and it's a large vertical one. 2 atomic drops, a 10-punch spot that's interrupted, but Lex hits a clothesline. You got double-arm DDT and a rest hold, which Buff uses the ropes for leverage at a few points. Lex powers up, but Buff puts him down and hits a splash and a pseudo-Steiner recliner, flexing from Buff, and then a somehow even weaker Steiner recliner. Which is saying something, because the side recliner is already a weak camel clutch. Mm-hmm. It's like, what's the laziest effort? Just like, what if I just like drape my hands across your chin?
Yeah, you can even see him like not really flexing too. Yeah, he's not trying. It's very much phoning it in.
Lex drops Buff onto his knees. We cut to Russo taunting Liz. Liz then gets up, tips his chair over, and hits him with a baseball bat on the knee.
Good for her.
It's like, what? She runs out to ringside, Lex hits a power slam, and he signals for the torture rack, but Buff clotheslines him, and then Buff stops a bat shot from Liz, and blatantly hits Lex with it in the ring. I'm like, DQ? Buff goes for the blockbuster, Liz hits him with the bat, Lex locks in the torture rack, and wins.
Yay!
Then we get Chuck Palumbo!
Chuck Palumbo?
Redebuting.
He was already here?
A few months ago, they had... like, oh, there's people from the power plant in the ring. They were going to set up for this whole, like, youth movement angle.
New Blood?
Yeah, kind of. Oh. And then, like, Chuck Palumbo was one of them, and then they never did
Chuck
anything with
Palumbo.
It.
Palumbo. Who are you, Chuck Palumbo?
But he comes out in, like, Lex Luger trunks and the most chicken of chicken legs I've ever
seen. Oh my God. Man skips leg day.
Yeah.
Who are you, Chuck Palumbo?
And to add to how sad it is, He attacks Luger, and Chuck Palumbo goes to do the torture rack on Lex Luger to be like, I'm the new total package. But he can't get him up on his own. He needs Buff's help to help him get him up.
I mean, that's why you don't skip leg day.
Oh, additionally, they make Liz watch during this beatdown, but like, you can't lift up the guy you're about to feud with to do his finisher when you're taking his spot. They're literally doing the fucking Sean Stasiak thing again.
It's new blood, baby.
Yeah, but new blood shouldn't just be, let's recycle the old blood. The new blood should be new, not recycled blood.
New blood.
Oh, and then Buff kidnaps Liz, who walks with him very much hand in hand.
Yeah, she like kind of like he picks her up too, and she kind of like thrashes a little bit, but it's not enough to be like, okay, she's actually fighting you. It's more like, man, I don't want it. Like a tantrum, not really a fight back. I'm so over Elizabeth. I haven't been able to express that in a while. I'm fucking tired of her.
Thoughts on this match?
It was
yeah. I said it was okay, then I'm like, no, this match was kind of eh.
It was okay.
The crowd popped for the finish, but like Palumbo being another Luger does nothing for me.
It also doesn't make sense why he's another Luger. Why did he come out wearing Luger gear? Was it just like to taunt?
He's the totaler package, probably.
The totaler package?
Probably something like that.
Ew.
Speaking of people who don't do much for me anymore.
French fries.
Mean Gene is here with the franchise.
The French fries.
Shane Douglas says, it's been 7 years of listening to the Nature Boys BS. And I'm like, he's been around longer than seven years, bud.
That number was so random to me because I'm like, have you been feuding with him for 7 years? No, you haven't been here for 7 years.
I guess he returned to WCW in 93?
Maybe?
He did. I mean, I guess that's, I don't know. Weird number to pull up.
Yeah.
But apparently it ends tonight.
Yeah, he says he's going to retire Flair tonight.
And Flair will be franchised.
Oh, which sweet summer child thinking that you're going to retire Flair.
Also, to be fair, if you're going to retire somebody, you're not going to franchise them. Because franchise implies that you're going to do a bunch of, you're going to make a bunch of them.
That's true.
So, work on your verbiage, Shane Douglas. God.
Learn what the word franchise means.
Watch The Founder.
You know what's sad, though? Me saying that Shane Douglas is not going to retire Ric Flair, that's not a spoiler for this match.
There's also never a stipulation for this match.
No, but just like me saying, oh, there's no way that happens. That's not a spoiler. Shane Douglas could still win this, and that's not like, and retire Ric Flair.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He'll be back in a month.
No, because there is a stipulation for this match. It is, if Vince Russo interferes, Flair gets him for 5 minutes.
Or he gets Flair for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It's questionable on like who set that timeline. Like, does Flair want to fight Russo, or
yes,
does Russo want to fight Flair?
Flair wants to fight Russo, but Russo is trying to look like a tough guy, and he's like, oh, it doesn't matter. I want to fight you anyway.
Okay. He's just being a little baby back bitch.
So Douglas grabs a mic to compensate for the lack of heat in this angle, and he's just like, yep, this crowd sucks, and Flair, you suck. Like, you just did a backstage promo. Why are you doing an in-ring promo 4 seconds later?
In case you missed it, in case you zoned out on the first one, here's another opportunity to zone out.
Flair comes out in street clothes. I hate it.
Yeah, I miss his gear. When he comes out to the song, too, it's like, you should be in a robe.
Yeah, I don't know what he wrestles in the rest of the year, admittedly. The only attire I know is he wrestles in trunks and a t-shirt on the final Nitro. I don't know if he does that beforehand or what, but yeah, it's
I don't know. It's not a bad look. Like, when he comes, he looks fine. It's just not wrestling.
It's not a good wrestling look.
I miss the feather jacket. The robe. I miss the robe.
Flair grabs a mic on his way to the ring and reminds Charles Robinson to open the ropes for him. He cuts a little promo on tradition and then says he's going to kick Douglas's ECW ass.
Got him.
Douglas overpowers Flair early and punches Flair in the face. And then hits a back body drop. Douglas stops a 10-punch spot short for heel heat and then eats a back elbow. Flair hits chops and rakes the eyes and goes up top. And you'll never believe it, but he does end up getting thrown off the top rope, which Mark Madden points out on commentary. I'm like, no, no, no. I get to be a snarky prick about this, not you. You doing it points out, like, the holes in this as the show.
Nick pointing it out is just Nick being an asshole.
Yeah. I acknowledge him being an asshole. Douglas locks in a figure four, but Flair eventually gets the ropes. Flair sells a stomp to the balls while hitting chops, and then counters a figure four and lazily sneaks a low blow. I don't know why he bothered.
Yeah, well.
Flair throws Douglas around ringside. Tony asks for a replay of something. Not gonna get it.
Nope. I didn't even hear him ask for a replay.
Yeah.
No one's listening to Tony Schiavone.
Do we even do in-match replays anymore?
Not really. That does feel very Russo, though. Like, oh, you missed it the first time. You should have been watching. Sucks for you.
Douglas hits a suplex in the ring and then pulls a chain out of his boot and punches Flair with it. Also feels the need to sneak this. Two snap suplexes and then a delayed vertical suplex from Douglas. Douglas hits punches to the head, but Flair knocks down Douglas with chops and punches. Flair struts and then hits a punting low blow.
Like fully in front of the ref. Like, DQ. It is, nope. No, I think at this point, moving forward, low blows are no longer DQs.
But neither are chair shots.
No.
Neither is some interference, right. but other times it is.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm not doing the, like, sometimes it is, sometimes. Low blows are just cool now. Until I'm proven wrong and they count them as a DQ. But moving forward, I am under the guise that a low blow is not a DQ.
So why are they sneaking it behind the ref's
back?
That
I can't tell you. I don't know. But we're playing with the, you know, refs are, you know, more lenient, whatever, more relaxed. We're going to go with the guise that low blows are no longer DQs.
Flair works over the leg, goes to the figure four. Buff runs out and then a fake Sting gets in the ring, hits Flair with a baseball bat. And Shane Douglas gets the pin as the trio beats down Flair for a few seconds.
What makes you think this is a fake Sting? This is totally the real Sting. What do you mean?
Well, it's very clearly a fake Sting.
He's also wearing the Rolex necklace.
Yes.
So it's so, like, oh, it's Russo.
Yeah, you were meant to believe this is Vince Russo.
Don't spoil it.
I don't know. Just like, I couldn't pinpoint it at first, but something about the movement, I'm like, I don't know. Just something seems off. He looks so stiff.
It was when he came into the ring when I was like, something's up, because just the way he was carrying himself didn't look like Russo.
Yeah.
Something, like you said, something was off. And then you're like, oh, well, he's wearing the Rolex. It's Russo. It's like, oh, okay, if you say so.
So they go to leave, but Flair, assuming the person is Russo, is like, nope, you interfered. I get you for 5 minutes.
He didn't really interfere, though.
I mean, in this scenario, if that's Vince Russo, yes, he did.
Kinda.
Anyway, Lex Luger somehow passes Shane Douglas and Buff Bagwell to come throw the fake Sting in the ring. Vince Russo then runs out past him, so the fake Sting can't be Vince Russo.
Who could the fake Sting be? It must be real Sting.
The fake Sting unmasks to reveal David Flair. We're going back to this.
Have you missed him? This feels like a return.
It's not been that long.
It feels like an in-ring return for David Flair.
It's a kind of heel turn. I guess he was kind of a face when they were feuding with the Wall.
I can't remember the last time he was in the ring wrestling. He's been on the outside with Daphne, but when's the last time he was in the ring? He's been like ringside for Crowbar.
Yeah, but that's you being on TV. So
no, and I get that. That's what I'm saying, the in-ring return. I don't know the last time I saw him wrestle.
Yeah, it's probably been a little while because they wrote him off in the Wall thing, and then
that's the Wall, brother.
Yeah, so he hits Rick with a Statue of Liberty toy,
like shatters this toy too. It's like made of chalk,
and reveals a I Heart New York shirt. Got him.
See, that doesn't make any sense. Like,
because Russo's from New York, so he's on Russo's side. That's
Oh, they're saying that I heart New York, I heart Vince Russo.
Yeah.
Got it, stupid. But do you want to... What was it that finally tipped you off that it was David Flair before he unmasked?
Oh, the fucking stomps. Oh my... He hits stomps on Ric Flair that are diabolically bad, and I go... Oh, I know who this is.
Yeah. You were like immediately like, oh, that's.
I mean, I also did remember a little bit that at some point in 2000, Rick and David feud. But like,
you
I didn't
know this.
I didn't remember
how
when, but those fucking stomps. I'm like, oh, I know those shit stomps. This is also where we get Charlotte re-debuting. I guess she appeared ever so slightly, but she shows up and actually has a line or two.
Wow. Okay. Ashley.
Because they go to Rick's house.
Let's go, Ash.
So once Rick is down, Russo says, start the clock. I'm like, but you didn't interfere. Why is the 5 minutes happening now? So Russo beats down Rick with the bat and then does crotch chops. David hits a bad shot. And then the Wolfpack music hits. It's Kevin Nash.
He just like comes out to look on menacingly at first. He doesn't come out with any kind of speed.
You say that like he sometimes does.
He just sort of lumbers. No, sometimes he jogs. Sometimes.
When was the last time he jogged?
Sometimes he comes out with purpose, at least. You know when you walk versus walking with purpose?
Yeah. Nash tries to powerbomb Russo, but Daphne makes the save. And Russo hits a bad shot on Nash, and Daphne, David Flair, and Vince Russo all leave together. What a weird trio.
Yeah, and Daphne is like hanging all over David. It's like old times again.
Say old times like this was like a year ago. This was like 3 weeks ago they were together.
They've always been together, but they haven't been the focal point. For so long, David and Daphne were the focal point of everything. We haven't seen them in that sense for so long because we were watching Crowbar. And now we're seeing David and Daphne again. Yes, they've been ringside, but they're not the focal camera point. Yeah. So seeing them again, it feels like we're going back. Yes, they're present, but they're not what we're supposed to be watching.
Commentary can't believe that David turned on his father, despite the fact that David has previously turned on his father and like they are basically estranged because they had the whole story of Arn Anderson being like, be a father to your son. What the fuck are you doing?
And right. It's
like,
where's Arn Anderson?
David
now?
Joined the NWO.
We need Arn.
Back when Tori Wilson was Samantha.
Oh, yeah. Samantha.
And remember, he got seduced by Mrs. Robinson.
Here's to you, Mrs. Robinson.
Thoughts on the match that happened forever ago?
I mean, it annoyingly was not that bad.
It was one of the better ones of the night.
Yeah. It was like annoying how fairly good it was.
I mean, it's Ric Flair and Shane Douglas can wrestle.
I'm not sure I'd give him that.
So like most basic, like
Shane Douglas can be carried to a fine match.
Yeah, this didn't feel like the big blow off to a 7 year feud they were trying to sell it as.
Yeah, it was not. First of all, it wasn't a 7 year feud.
Yeah, and yeah, so it didn't feel like this big moment like that. And the post match angle, I'm like, okay, cool. So you've paired non wrestler Vince Russo with barely wrestler David Flair.
Cool.
To feud with self-conscious legend Ric Flair.
Ugh, it's going to be great.
Yeah. Commentary recaps the heel turn and hypes up Sting versus Vampiro. And we get a video package. And that's our next match. It is Vampiro versus Sting. And during Sting's entrance, what do we get, Emily?
Bird! There's a bird.
Why has that become a weird theme on the show?
I don't know. I like the birds, though. There's a crow with Sting. It's just hanging out.
Sting comes down the entrance ramp, fortunately does not rappel down from the ceiling.
Yeah, thank God. You know that was pitched, though.
He has a bat, they brawl mid-entrance. The bird handler does a run-in, because we see this one guy come through from Gorilla, and we're like, who the fuck is this?
Yeah, it just looks like some guy and then, running behind Sting.
And then he like makes a hard left and goes to get the bird, we're like, oh, it's the bird handler.
He's trying to go get the bird, so the bird doesn't get stressed out. It's a very stressful situation for a bird to be in.
In the ring, Sting hits a missile dropkick and then a diving splash to the floor. Sting throws Vampiro around ringside and DDTs him on the mats. Low blow to Sting.
Not a DQ.
Oh, Bill, yeah, there's way worse in this match.
Yeah.
Vampiro hits a diving punch and then goes for a lead pipe and hits Sting with it.
They do pull the lead pipe out really early.
Yep, referees letting it go.
It's fine.
It's a lead pipe.
Yeah, see, this is more along the lines of like what should be a DQ. The low blows are, it is what it is.
Vampire hits more pipe shots and they brawl on the ramp. Admittedly, they use the lead pipe so much that like it feels worthless.
Yeah.
Like, there should be like one or two of these. This is like, I'm going to work them over with the pipe. And
exactly. It doesn't have the weight that it should have. It's a pipe. It should be more of a weapon.
It seems like a crutch, like, oh, my offense isn't interesting enough. Right. So. Vampiro hits a spin kick and they head up to the ring and hit more pipe shots. Vampiro goes for a super Frankensteiner, but Sting hits a low blow and a powerbomb from the middle rope, and then he hits pipe shots. Stinger splash, and then Sting hits one again with the pipe, like basically puts it over Vampiro on the splash.
Yeah, no. It's like if you go to like a old time burlesque and the girl has got a feather boa and she throws it around your neck to like pull you into a kiss or like to motorboat her or something. That's kind of the vibe that Sting was doing with the lead pipe.
That's two very different vibes. You just listened.
Not really. Same movement.
I'm saying came in for a kiss or a motorboater. I'm like, that's different vibes. Scorpion Death Drop and then another one. Sting wins.
Sting won quickly.
Yeah, and then Sting goes back to hit Vampiro one more time with the pipe for some reason.
Just for good measure.
They used the pipe so much that it just lost all meaning. Like, it did. That was the match, is pipe shots.
This was a weird match, especially for the amount of build up to it. Like, there was a fucking match in a cemetery, and we're just like, eh, whatever.
Oh, that was a brawl, wasn't a match.
But still, though, they went to a cemetery. They had this whole set piece, and it was done in, what, 3 minutes? It was a quick match.
I think it was like 6.5.
Oh.
Yeah, the bit on the ramp lasted a little while, but...
I guess that's fair. But just, it ended so quickly.
Yeah.
The match didn't really have any gravitas to it. It was just a weapon match, which doesn't really make sense when we've had this whole build-up.
It seemed weird that this didn't have a stipulation of any kind.
Yeah, that too.
I know they keep feuding for a little bit, so maybe next month it will, but...
Sorry, Sting. You're stuck with this kid.
Yeah. Backstage, Mike Tenay interviews DDP and David Arquette.
David Arquette is wearing the silliest outfit.
Yes.
And he's like hype about it.
David Arquette once again says, I might be scared, but I'm looking great.
He looks great. He's wearing a cape.
The plan for David Arquette is just stay out of the way, but if anybody like tries to interfere, like basically go try to fight him off.
Before we get any kind of question, I did consider doing, who's that Pokemon for this costume? It's just red. There's no other fun element to it. It's just red. So think of a red Pokemon. Yeah, he's that one.
Think of Pokemon Red.
Sure. Like, it's not enough. I wish there was, like, something else. It's just red and a cape. It looks very silly.
Yeah, so Arquette is very ready to give up the title, and DDP calls him a monkey at one point.
Yeah, DDP is like, stay out of Jeff Jarrett's way, but do not grab the belt.
Yeah.
So to me, that was like... Oh, DDP's not getting the belt. David's going to get the belt. It's going to be some sort of screwy thing where David has to run away. And then he finds himself at the top of the cage. And he's like, well, I'm here. I'm going to grab the belt. That was my prediction.
Yeah, we're like, everyone's about to attack him. So he grabs the belt and like, well.
To end it. Yeah. That was my prediction. And then that would end into a whole feud. And DDP be mad at David. They'd break up. And then it'd be this whole thing. So that was my thought.
Backstage, Kevin Nash is looking for Russo. Mike Tenay then interviews Billy Kidman and Eric Bischoff. Kidman's like, I can't lose. That doesn't work for me, brother. And Eric Bischoff says he's going to call it right down the middle of Hogan's yellow back.
That doesn't work for me, brother.
And Emily, if you bought Slamboree, you can get a Buff Daddy pennant.
It's actually kind of a cool pennant. Like, this is better than the mouse pad.
Yes, he didn't go, if you bought Spring Stampede, you get a mouse pad. Now... So far, we've had the teddy bear, mm-hmm. the mouse pad,
the pennant,
the outsider's like t-shirt.
The outsider shirt. What else was there? I thought there was one more thing.
That might be it.
Okay. The pennant's definitely the best one.
Oh, disagree.
I think so. No? What do you think is the best?
Can I have the shirt of the bear?
No, the bear doesn't make any sense for wrestling.
I don't
want to
hang a Buff Bagwell pennant in my room.
Yeah, because you're not a Buff Bagwell fan. But
He's
if you're a Buff Bagwell
point.
Fan, then you'd want the pennant. And pennants are like... aligned with sports, so if they're trying to continue the narrative that professional wrestling is athletic and it's a sport, we should have a pennant.
You know, I love when I like something so much that I have to do, like, that I have to, like, transitive property it to something else I like.
What do you mean transitive property?
Well, I like sports, and I like wrestling, so clearly this pennant is the best of both worlds.
Okay, so then how do you feel about the current day NFL wrestling belts?
I think they're stupid.
Okay, you've never said that before.
Yeah, I think you're stupid.
You've never said anything against those, so I was about to call you a hypocrite.
No, admittedly, I do like when they have the little like side plates.
But that feels like the same thing, though. You're still putting sports on a wrestling thing.
I guess you're saying I like it when it's like given to sports people. In terms of owning that, I wouldn't want to own it.
They advertise it at live shows of like, you're in Baltimore, get the Baltimore Ravens belts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm saying ones that are like just the regular WWE title, yeah. But on the side.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
No, the main ones, I don't want those at all.
Okay. You've never said this, so I just wanted to make sure you weren't being hypocritical.
No,
but like,
there's only one belt I want.
As he looks at our belts, but they are establishing professional wrestling as a sport. In that
Vince
case,
Russo wants you to not think of it like that.
Really?
The entire thing is sports entertainment,
but it's still sport. There's athletics.
We're
and
overthinking
sport.
A pennant.
Yes, we are. But I think this one is the most, like, it makes sense, I think. A fucking teddy bear.
Oh, yeah, it's dumb. I mean, they're mostly dumb.
Yeah. A mouse pad, a teddy bear, those don't make any sense. A pennant, sure.
Yeah, it is still the clearance rack of stuff.
I guess I'm trying to say that pennants are more closely aligned with athletics, and this is athletic.
Yeah, but usually that's, like, celebrating something. And not just sure. Buff Bagwell.
Are you not celebrating Buff Bagwell?
No, you're celebrating, like, hey.
Why do you, like, hate fun?
If it was like Ric Flair, it was like 1994 world champion or whatever.
Oh, okay. I see what you mean. So if this had some sort of achievement on it for yeah. Buff, you'd be more. Okay. I'm with you with that.
Yeah, just him being on it. Like, that's just.
He's the stuff.
It's just a long form poster.
Yeah. Well, it's actually fairly short form. It's not very long.
It costs more money to make, I assume.
That's for damn sure.
Anyway, next match. Billy Kidman with Tori Wilson versus Hulk Hogan / Terry Bollea with Horace Hogan.
Which one is it?
Check his cock.
Gotta check his cock.
Eric Bischoff is the special guest referee. And Kimberly comes out with Eric Bischoff. She doesn't do anything.
No.
Like, literally nothing.
No. She doesn't speak. She doesn't do anything ringside. Commentary just sort of talks about how she's more sensual since she left DDP.
That's just Mark Madden, probably.
I don't know. She found her sexuality.
Then that's definitely Mark Madden. Both Hogans come out with FUNB vests. Hogan still has the taking care of Bollea on the boob. Eric Bischoff immediately sends Horace to the back. Hogan chases Kidman, who WCW's Hogan. The bandana comes off quick, and I'm like,
oh, it's for real, brother.
Well, no, I think Kidman pulls it off, but God, Hulk Hogan looks a lot less cool and a lot more unathletic with the bandana off.
Yeah.
Just that old balding head with the stringy hair. I'm like, yeah. Oh, you got to hide one element of that.
He just looks like an old man.
Hogan tries to slam Kidman, but Kidman counters with an inside cradle. Hogan then drops Kidman on the ropes and punches him to the floor. Hogan puts a chair in the ring and drops Kidman onto it after Eric Bischoff is like, well, you can't use the chair. One, didn't seem to stop anybody else.
Yeah.
Two, he still throws Kidman onto it, and you're the heel referee in Kidman's corner. DQ him.
See, that you should have DQ'd him. But you did have a funny line while we were watching. It's like, oh, I can't use the chair. I can use Kidman and throw him at the chair.
I think you said that.
No, you said it. Okay. That was you.
You were just like laughing at your own joke here.
No, I'm laughing at yours.
Kidman hits a Hurricane Rana and then a dropkick. Hogan throws Kidman around ringside. Kidman uses Tori as a shield, and it didn't seem like that was going to stop Hogan, but Kidman attacks him before we can find out what would happen there.
Yeah.
I mean, he did like choke Tori Wilson a few weeks ago.
He did. He did do that. I don't think he really gives a shit.
Kidman does the Hogan taunt, so Hogan starts a comeback. Hogan takes off his weightlifting belt and whips Kidman.
Oh my God, yeah.
DQ?
Again, you have the heel referee that could call this at any moment.
Well, to add to it, Eric Bischoff takes the belt from Hulk Hogan. Scott Hudson on commentary, this is unfair. You're supposed to be letting it go, Eric Bischoff.
What?
I'm like, the fuck?
I think Scott Hudson's confused.
Kidman then gets the belt and whips Hogan. Kidman does his flip over kind of like famouser thing, and then is just hip tossed to ringside, crashes hard.
Yeah, he does.
Hogan throws Kidman around some more. Hogan goes for a pin, but Eric Bischoff just doesn't count it, proving, man, Hogan can just really beat Kidman so easily, can't he?
He can do whatever the fuck he wants because he's Hulk Hogan.
Hogan hits a back suplex, and Bischoff doesn't count again, so Hogan and Bischoff argue. Kidman dodges three very slow Hulk Hogan elbows. Like, just stop after the first one, dude.
Yeah,
what
why do we have to do this three times?
Like, Kidman's rolling out of the way before Hogan even, like, takes the step to do it. Kidman stomps Hogan. They go outside again, and Kidman drops Hogan on the ropes. Hogan hulks up, hits a big boot, but Eric Bischoff steps in the way of the leg drop. So Hogan punches Eric Bischoff and then leg drops Kidman. Bischoff then grabs a chair, and Hogan steals it. So, again, Like, people can't even cheat properly with Hogan.
No.
He hits Eric Bischoff, then hits Kidman. Hogan grabs two tables from ringside and throws him in the ring, but somehow in this process breaks one of the tables.
Oh, is that what happened? I couldn't, like, yeah, figure
something
out.
Yeah, something like one of the hinges breaks, apparently.
Oh, okay.
It's very not visually clear.
Okay.
Hogan goes for a powerbomb on Bischoff, but Kidman stops it with two chair shots. He does get a visual pin on Hogan here, which is very clearly done to, like, oh, no, see, I put him over, brother.
Mm-hmm.
He could have beat me.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, Eric Bischoff is down, so they can't count the pin. Oh, no. Man. Hogan blades at some point here.
Maybe it was just before this, but there was a point, I think it was with the chair shots. I was like mid-writing a note, and I was like, oh my God, I don't care. Oh my God, I don't care. But this is the match that I was talking about earlier where everyone was freaking the fuck out the whole time. The crowd was so hot. And I had this is where I looked at you. I was like, I don't care. Should I care? And you're like, eh.
Yeah.
You did kind of validate me there. Like, eh. I was like, oh, okay, it's not just me. But it was like mid-note.
Emily, you don't care about a Billy Kidman match.
I know. Isn't that sad? The note that I had was, Eric goes for Hogan with a chair, and oh my God, I don't care.
Hogan kicks out of the actual pin. They then set up for the Eric Bischoff holds up Hulk Hogan for a Billy Kidman chair shot. And I was
and
like,
the one thing they didn't want to happen.
I literally
that
paused and I was like, wonder what happens here. We don't even get to there because Hogan fights out of it first. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, Terry.
He's just so strong.
He powerbombs Bischoff through a table and then struggles to put another table in the ring.
Oh, yeah, he gets it stuck in the apron.
Kidman low blows Hogan and sets the table up, and I didn't even see how the fuck Hogan ends up on this table. Like, Kidman sets it up, and Hogan just, like, lays across
like,
it.
Oh, I'm so tired. This looks like a good place for a nap.
Yeah, and Hogan's legs are, like, half off the table. So when Kidman dives, Hogan gets out of the way. He goes for the pin. Horace Hogan runs down and uses Eric Bischoff's body to count the pin, so Hulk Hogan wins.
Of course he does, brother. He's a real American, brother. What a match.
Yeah. Of all the matches, this was one of them.
What a match. Of all the matches, this sure was one.
Kidman bumped around like crazy for Hogan. And Hogan, I mean, like going through it, I mean, I guess he did take bumps. But man, he did not make Kidman look at all good.
No, he didn't make Kidman look strong at all. He made Kidman
he
look
also,
more
like
a little
seemingly
bitch.
Got gassed halfway through.
Yeah, well, he's also Hulk Hogan, and he doesn't move well.
Yeah, he's not in good shape here.
No.
Apparently, he has a knee injury.
Big fucking quotes there.
Hogan's hurt at every point of his career. I mean, to be fair, he probably still hasn't recovered from tearing every muscle in his back when he slammed Andre.
Of course.
When Andre was 800 pounds, and then Andre sadly died a few days later.
No, he died like the next day. He died the hour after the match.
He died on impact. That's why he couldn't kick out. That's the thing. Andre wasn't willing to job, so I had to kill him, brother.
Oh, my God.
Oh, but yeah. Fucking Kidman. He can't even win with a fucking stacked deck.
Mm-mm.
Put him back in the cruiserweight division.
He's done.
Yeah.
He's cooked.
We both love him, but...
Put him back with people who he can work with. Conan's back. Rey is back.
Put him in the U.S. title picture.
Sure. Get him out of this. It's just making him look like garbage.
Backstage, Russo goes to leave with Liz and goes to, like, put her on the Millionaires Club bus. Like,
so Russo is not just leaving. He's, like, running. He's trying to run away from Kevin Nash, who's chasing him through backstage, I guess.
Chasing
in big.
You know how we're
bus.
Saying Ralph is just stands there? Nash is one step above that.
He's just, like, kind of, he's meandering.
He's used one upgrade point.
He's lollygagging. He's meandering.
He's
hot-dogging
and grandstanding.
No, he's not.
No, that's too much effort.
That's
you're
too
right.
much, yeah.
But yeah, like, so Russo goes to go on the Millionaires Club bus? Like, what the fuck was going on?
I think that he thought it was there. I think he was just confused.
Like, the way he, like, pushes Liz onto it is almost like, here, take her, we're square. Like, but I don't think that's what they were going for.
It could have been. Because they opened the door to the bus, and Luger's just there.
Yeah.
They just chucks Liz at him, like, ah, fuck it, run.
He then takes someone's car as Nash then walks up.
Yeah. And that's the end of it.
Can't wait for a Kevin Nash versus Vince Russo feud.
It's going to be the most low energy feud of all time. It's going to be low energy and shit talky. While also a pissing contest.
I'll bet you $40 Russo brings up Oz.
Oh, probably.
See, the problem is I'm trying to remember what things I've like heard in passing versus him doing him saying, because I'm like, he's going to bring up Vinny Vegas and fucking Diesel and you're only famous because of me, yada, yada. Oh, man.
Are we done yet?
It's time for our main event, kind of, because we have to set up the main event first. But the main event for tonight is Diamond Dallas Page versus Jeff Hardy.
Can you imagine?
Versus Jeff Jarrett versus WCW champion David Arquette. We get a video package and then a Great American Bash graphic. It's like, if you liked this show, you can buy next month's pay-per-view.
Not the time to be advertising. I'm good.
Mean Gene interviews Jeff Jarrett. He calls him a Jurassic slap ass, probably.
Appropriate.
Jarrett sasses Gene, says he can't wait to embarrass DDP and David Arquette. They're going to play Boots and Ladders.
Boots and Ladders.
And then we go to the ring. It's Michael Buffer time!
It's Michael Buffer time! I thought we were done with Michael Buffer.
The cage lowers for like 4 minutes, and then we get some pyro.
Yeah.
Which, when the cage is lowering for that length of time, you're assuming, oh, they must be really securing this cage.
It's coming down slowly so they can get hit every lock, every secure point.
Somehow, the bottom cage is flimsier than the triple doomsday cage.
Yes.
The upper levels are better, but they're not great.
They're not much better, but they're not like actively separating from each other.
Yeah. I forget how, but Buffer flubs Jeff Jarrett's name.
He just kind of like mumbles it.
Yeah.
He doesn't remember like the syllables. He's like Jeff the Jarrett. Chosen one.
David Arquette comes out looking ridiculous.
He's in his outfit. He's red.
But like three Loving entrances, three red. Dubbed themes on Peacock.
Ugh.
We don't get an actual reaction to any of these men.
Wow.
Match starts. Jarrett chases Arquette, who tries to leave. This is where we get our first taste of how flimsy the bottom cage is, because someone gets thrown into it and like the whole wall like gives way.
See, this is where I feel like they should have watched Uncensored and gone the more cozy route that Arn Anderson took.
Everybody's in cozy sweats.
Well, if that's how flimsy the cage is, they should expect that maybe they're taking an uncomfortable bump and maybe don't expose all your skin.
I'll tell you fair, Arn did it on one of the top ones. We're in the one of the bottom ones here.
But still, I mean, hey, that's a valid method to take.
But like, it has multiple feet of give, and I'm like, how?
Yeah, the bottom cage is like going into the audience.
Like, I've mentioned before, I'm like, God, if you're in the front row, sometimes those barricades have to, like, hit your shins.
Yeah.
I didn't think the fucking Hell in a Cell cage would fucking hit you.
Right.
Jarrett keeps trying to get David Arquette, but DDP keeps interfering. We get a uranage to Jarrett, and Jarrett dodges a diving splash from David Arquette. Jarrett and DDP keep throwing each other into the wobbly cage, and at one point, Jarrett throws DDP into David Arquette. I'm like, I don't know how intentional that was.
I think that was intentional.
Well, at that point, like, Arquette's down. Isn't your whole goal to get Arquette? So get him.
I don't know.
Jeff Jarrett counters a low blow with the ring post. DDP dodges a Jarrett clothesline, and Jarrett ends up blasting David Arquette. Paige runs Jarrett's crotch into the ring post, and Paige sets up a ladder in the ring. Somewhere around here, Jeff Jarrett is bladed and as DDP beats him down.
He is bloody.
DDP tries to climb the ladder, but Jarrett hits a back suplex from the ladder. Jarrett then tries to climb, but DDP hits a sit-out powerbomb. Very much the one-on-one ladder match problem here of no one can sell anything because we have to stop the other person from climbing.
Right.
It's basically both of you sell or no one sells.
Yeah, because David Arquette's not doing anything.
Both men get whipped into the ladder. They actually have a like good veteran moment of the ladder like bounces out of the corner and they actually adjust to hit like the ropes in a way in which it'll make sense to land there.
Oh.
It's such a subtle little thing that I'm like, no, you two are very professional and know to do that and like see that going. Oh. It was such a weird thing because I saw it bounce out of the corner. I'm like, oh, they're fucked. And they're like, nope, they corrected course.
Wow.
Jeff Jarrett then grabs a different colored ladder as they both climb the ladder. Like this one has like the black sides as opposed to like the silver sides. And I'm like, it's weird that you have different setups here. I'm wondering, is this more like weighted or whatever to hold for different spots?
Yeah, I feel like it's the level of gimmick. I feel like how flimsy they are might be color coded. Like, so that people like you who go and do work in the rings and, like, hang up lights, maybe they don't grab the wrong ladder or something.
I mean, you can work on the one. It's just, yeah.
You don't think you should.
DDP then uses the roof of the cage as leverage to kick the ladder over, and Jared falls to the elevated ramp. DDP gets the second level and then grabs bolt cutters to cut the lock off of the door for, like, that second hardcore cage. Jeff Jarrett climbs up and attacks him after the door is unlocked and hits a chair shot, and we can see here the floor of the second cage has a lot of give. A
little too much.
And I kind of like figured out the problem of there's like no support beams.
Yeah. So again, we're likening it to the Uncensored cage match where we remember that like Arn Anderson and Ric Flair, they were very much staying towards those support beams. They weren't venturing out very much.
Yeah. I guess we're talking about different things because like those had like the support like pillars.
Yeah.
I'm talking about like
the floor beams. I know.
Yeah, I mean it in it like they got one chain link section of like 30 by 30 as opposed to getting a couple 10 by 10s,
right?
And
connecting them and with giving it piece.
yeah like with solid right. or with like frames. That's looking for. I'm looking frames. For frames.
Yeah, I mean same idea though with Uncensored is like they didn't want to go out into the center of those divots.
Yeah,
this is just all divots.
Like it's part of the thing of why that like. Mick Foley, Hell in a Cell, when he goes through the roof,
mm-hmm.
one part of it falls. The entire roof doesn't right, cave in.
Exactly.
Also, somewhere around here, DDP is bleeding. Both men hit each other with some weapons as David Arquette watches.
He's literally just watching on. He's not, like, I know he's told not to do anything, but he's really not doing anything.
They managed to knock over one of the walls of the second cage. And it looked weird that like looked like it broke easier than they thought because DDP has to like really slow up and like, oh, fuck.
Was that an accident?
No, I think that was gimmick to fall.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
That said, why do they have the door you cut with bolt cutters? And almost felt like DDP like forgot to not cut that.
I don't know.
Because now they can get out that way. Why would you have the door that you have to cut?
I don't know. That's why I thought that wall falling was like kind of a botch, like an accident.
DDP then struggles to set up a table as it needs the feet to be on something.
Yeah, there's nothing to put it on.
The feet keep going through the holes of the cage.
As this was being set up, both you and I were like, no, stop it. What do you think you're doing?
He actually managed to get it balanced enough.
Yeah, somehow.
He slams Jeff Jarrett through and then Paige and Jarrett keep brawling as they like tease throwing each other off the cage, like into the crowd or like onto the concrete. Like, yeah, you guys aren't doing that.
No.
David Arquette finally joins them on the second level, and then he climbs to level 3. Technically, for a triple decker cage, there are 4 levels to this.
Right. Because the belt is on the top of the third cage.
Yeah. So then DDP and Jeff Jarrett are fighting on the top of the first cage still. And we can't explain how it happens, but on the top of the cage, Mike Awesome sneak attacks DDP.
He came from literally nowhere.
Just out of frame.
Like, we didn't see him in any frame climbing up the cage or waiting anywhere on the cage. He just appeared. Like, he apparated onto that bit of the cage.
David Arquette gets all the way to the top level as DDP hits a diamond cutter on Mike Awesome. Paige and Jeff Jarrett finally get to the third level, which is the guitar room.
The guitar room.
There's just 4 guitars in there.
It's pretty lame. Why did we do this?
It's also, like, you don't need to actually go in there for any reason.
No, just to get the weapons.
They both dodge a guitar shot as DDP hands David Arquette a guitar and slams the door on Jarrett. Jeff Jarrett grabs a guitar and starts to climb after DDP. DDP climbs the top, but swerve! David Arquette hits DDP with a guitar.
What?
Jeff Jarrett hits a final guitar shot, and according to Tony Schiavone, it's the ultimate swerve as Jeff Jarrett and David Arquette hug. Jeff Jarrett grabs the title to become the new WCW champion.
Wow.
In case you're wondering, I cannot confirm or deny that they just took last month's pay-per-view finish and did the find and replace Kimberly with David Arquette.
I mean,
it's the same finish.
Yeah, it is the same finish. Just add a cage.
Yeah. It's literally, DDP thinks someone's in his corner. Swerves or not, Jeff Jarrett wins.
Yeah. That's like all, that's DDP's whole character, though.
Yeah.
Is people in his corner and then betraying him and then getting back with him and then betraying him again.
To be fair, I think in 96, he left them.
Oh, I don't know.
DDP ends up on cage level 2, and Mike Awesome goes to Awesome Bomb DDP on the cage. Canyon runs out, makes the save, but is then thrown off the top of the cage onto the ramp, which is gimmicked to kind of absorb the fall a little bit. And we go off the air with commentary going that he likely broke his back and, like, I can't believe they're celebrating.
Yeah, it's not necessarily the fall that really, like, makes this an icky moment. It's commentary's response. As soon as Canyon falls, Tony and Mark and I don't even know if Scott Hudson's talking at this point.
He probably is.
But they're all just like, somebody call an ambulance. Canyon is hurt. I think he broke his back. This is bad. Like, very much alluding without alluding.
Yeah, I mean, they're going for Foley in Hell in a Cell.
But that's not what it's coming off as.
Yeah, unfortunately, you're doing this in the Kemper Arena. Yeah.
Less than a year.
Yeah, so it's a little uncomfy. Like, it takes the spectacle out of the spot. I mean, we saw Canyon fall off a thing, what, last pay-per-view?
Yeah,
and it was great. And here, just feels a little icky.
There were boos, weren't there? Or was I hallucinating that?
There might have been, but it's a heel throwing a face off the thing, so.
I mean, I don't know. It was just, yeah. It was very
of icky. All the arenas, do it and don't do it this one.
Yeah, the fall itself, that wasn't shocking. That's happened before. That's not new, especially not for Canyon. It was the reaction. The reaction was trying to elicit a feeling, and trying to elicit that feeling in that space is...
Yeah, I don't know.
Bad.
I don't believe in my heart that Vince Russo was like, let's, you know, try to allude to Owen Hart. I don't think he was going for that. That said, I just don't think it occurred to him, and that's part of the problem.
Yes, he wasn't thinking. Like I said, he's so egotistical that he takes the first idea that he thinks of and goes, oh my God, I'm so smart, and writes it down.
Thoughts on this actual match, ignoring the Canyon element at the end?
It was just a one-on-one match.
Well, yeah.
And that bothers me a little bit. They kept like hyping this as a triple threat, whatever, and David Arquette was not part of it.
Yeah, I mean, to me, this match is a weird masterclass in overcoming a shit gimmick match.
What do you mean?
Take the David Arquette thing out of it. Just say he does a run-in. I think Jeff Jarrett needed to pull a half-decent match out of this. This stipulation is ridiculous. It's designed for a movie.
Right. This is a set piece.
It's not designed to be an actual match stipulation.
Right.
And I think they pulled an okay to decent match out of this.
Yeah, it was decent.
Yeah. The you have to climb a ladder to get to the second thing, and cages 2 and 3 are the fucking same thing. Yeah. And yeah, so I think they managed to pull a decent match out of this. They I don't know that they turned chicken shit into chicken salad, but they turned chicken shit into ground up chicken.
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of my problem with this whole pay-per-view too. All these matches are good and fine, but nothing is like great.
Nothing is like, well, I mean, I know besides Ralph is free, nothing's like, well, this is clearly
I can't even recognize that that's not a great match. I loved it.
Yeah. The swerve of David Arquette, they tease a bit in interviews. I mean, he comes to the arena separate.
It's
he
not
keeps
surprising.
Being like, oh, I'm totally scared. Like, don't let my face fool you. I'm scared. It's like, no, you're clearly already going to do it.
It's not surprising. It's predictable.
It doesn't make a ton of sense to me. I mean,
no,
I...
No, but it's predictable in the case of, like, what else the fuck is he going to do?
I know a bit of his justification, but I'm curious to see the promo, because I know OSW loves this promo. Yeah, and then the post-match angle, it's like, do it anywhere besides here, and we probably would have liked it.
Yeah, probably.
Thoughts on this show as a whole? I know, which means A-plus recently.
Yes, that's true. It was fine. It was watchable. I didn't want to
die. It's the best pay-per-view they've done in a while.
It was kind of boring. I wasn't enthralled. It's the best pay-per-view they've done in a while, which says so very little.
Yeah, especially after last month, just the tournaments and...
Oh my God, I'm so glad we're done with the tournaments. The tournaments were exhausting.
Ugh, and Hogan actually managed to contain his bullshit to just his match, so.
That's true. Well, yeah, he didn't run into fucking every single match.
Yeah, it's the best pay-per-view in a while. That said, if you're going to watch a pay-per-view from, you know, around this time.
Don't watch this.
Watch Backlash.
Yeah, don't watch this.
Be like the other 600,000 people, or I guess it'd be just a little less than that, but still.
Yeah.
Or no, shit, it is more.
Give or take, yeah.
610,000 people. Again, I've said it before, I have my theory that there are like 40,000 wrestling journalists who have to buy every
show. Who have to, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a wild ride, I think, to the next pay-per-view.
We've got a long time to get there.
We're going to have six WWE shows in between there and the ECW show. I've also seen Great American Bash 2000 under the list of, like, weirdest shows ever.
Mm.
So.
I like weird.
I mean, we'll see what happens.
Okay.
But we got a long way to go before then. Let's start that road with best bit, worst bit, and MVP. It's a weird group here, but I think I know what yours might be.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like I said, I was not enthralled by any match on this card. So I did give my best bit to the hardcore match just because of the faff and the fun around it.
I don't feel great about it. I think I'm going to give mine to the main event.
Yeah?
It's two guys who can wrestle. I mean, they put on a better match than anybody else. I mean, I think it's a halfway decent match.
All right.
I don't feel great about it.
Yeah.
Worst bit?
My worst bit's the Hogan match.
Yeah, same.
I couldn't have cared any less about a wrestling match. And it was a Hogan and Kidman match.
I get the same vibe from these Hulk Hogan matches as I do from, like, 2015 to the 2019 Roman Reigns matches, where it's like, this is the guy. You're going to love him. Eat your vegetables.
Say your fucking prayers.
You're going to eat your vegetables and you're going to fucking enjoy him.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about this. So yeah, I got to agree with you there, the Hogan Kidman match. And Emily, who's your MVP?
You know who it is.
It's Ralphus.
It's my boy.
Yeah, I could have seen that one coming.
Of course it's Ralphus.
Honorable mention to the bird.
Sure. You know, I'll give it to the bird handler. How about that? No, Ralphus is my boy, and he will always get my MVP.
For me, the streak continues, and he will gain sole ownership of a certain record. I'm giving mine to Scott Steiner.
Yeah?
I think Steiner looked great in his match.
Okay. So,
like, Steiner's somebody, I looked at his match and I went, yeah, I want to see you face Booker T.
You want to see the genetic freak.
He's not normal.
Okay. But yeah.
So Scott Steiner now has four MVPs from me and zero from you. You almost gave it to him for sold out, but not quite.
He was close.
Yeah, I think he had great offense here. He made me care about a fucking Huge Erection match.
Captain Erection to you, sir.
Yeah, but that's going to do it for Slamboree 2000, the last ever Slamboree.
Come on inside. I wonder why this one did so well.
Well, I'm saying WWE didn't even break it out on like NXT at some point, I don't think.
Oh, wow.
Next up is the May 8th, 2000 Monday Nitro. Yeah, we're fully back on our normal schedule.
Yeah, we are.
If you haven't listened to it already, our WrestleMania 40 review is up on the main feed. Yeah, and you can listen to that WrestleMania 40 episode and all of our back catalog on everywhere the podcasts are found besides Spotify. You can follow us on social media at Butts in the Pod, on most places except Facebook, where it's just the Butts in the Seats podcast. Patreon.com/ButtsInTheSeat, $5 gets you about a dozen bonus episodes at this point, I want to say.
And one come in every 3 weeks, too.
Yeah, we're every other week here, every 3 weeks over there. We got a lot of TNA left. We've not watched a second Hogan Knows Best yet, so I don't know how much to dread that. Probably a lot.
You're going to hate it. I think I'll enjoy it.
But Emily, any closing thoughts before we head out of here?
No, I can't decide if I'm excited that we're like fully back into our regular times.
I'm happy to be back. It's going to be good to watch the storylines as they happen and not have to jump in and out.
That's true. Yeah, there's especially not going to be all that brain pausing where I'm like, Nick, what the fuck happened?
And you're like, haven't seen Norman Smiley in months. Like, he was on the last episode.
You and I haven't seen him in months.
But until we start heading towards the Great American Bash, I'm Nick.
I'm Emily.
And thanks for listening to the Butts in the Seats podcast.
Bye.